Chapter 31. Say it isn't solo. The Necromuse has my best friend. He has Jai. I stand in the dark folds of the stage curtain, numb from head to toe. Around me, the Mistwick students make way for the exiting Sousa kids, who are clearing their instruments from the stage. But I'm rooted to the spot, unable to move, even when a boy yells at me for blocking him and his tuba. "Good luck, little girl," Luca D'Alessio says in my ear. I look at him, barely hearing his words.
"Whoa,"
he steps back.
"You look terrified. Don't puke while you're out there."
Laughing, he throws an arm around one of his classmates and they leave out the side door. A cold gust of wind blows in when it slams shut, making my teeth chatter.
5 minutes, music cats," Trevor calls out. "Set up, then tune up."
"Let's do this," says Kirsten.
"This is it, team. This is where we win it all."
She drops her voice to a whisper.
"I saw the judges' faces when Sousa finished. They did not look impressed. His spell was weak, and they know it."
"If we just do this the way we practiced," Trevor adds, "that crystal lyre is ours. Mistwick will be the champions again."
My teammates buzz with excitement as they set up for our performance. But to me, their voices are like the distant drone from a TV. Don't they understand how terribly unimportant all this is now? That the Composium is the last thing they should be worrying about? The Necromuse took Jai. Phoebe pats my shoulder and says something. Then Kirsten tugs my sleeve, leading me onto the stage. I'm immediately blinded by a spotlight. The Mistwick Orchestra is set up, ready to perform. Pages rustle, instruments shine, people in the audience cough. None of it feels real. And then, somehow, I find myself standing at the front of the stage, flute in hand, with hundreds of faces staring up at me. At the piano, Mia waits with a bored expression. Darby is poised with her baton, ready to conduct. Everyone's there. Trevor, Phoebe, Rosa, Kirsten, Victoria, the twins, Mrs. LaRue, Mr. Pinwhistle, and Miss Mott look on from the wings. They're all waiting for me to start the spell. It's the composer's job to announce the piece to the audience, then play the opening measures.
"Amelia!"
Trevor hisses from the percussos section. There's an empty chair in the violins, where Jai should be sitting. Someone in the front row of the audience starts laughing.
"Come on," shouts a voice in the back. "Play."
I can't breathe. The heat from the stage lights seems to burn my eyes.
I can't,
I gasp out. "I'm sorry." With that, I turn and run, my flute in my hand. A dozen Mistwick students jump up, calling to me, but I rush past them all, knocking over a music stand with a clang. Before anyone can stop me, I shove open the back door and stumble into the backstage hallway. Why hasn't the Necromuse sent a portal for me? Is he waiting somewhere nearby? Did I miss some sign? What if I have to wait until the next full moon? Where are those MBI agents, and why did they let him take Jai? They were supposed to protect all of us.
"Amelia!"
Miss Mott runs after me like a fluttering bird, her assortment of scarves flowing behind her. Panting, she waves me down.
"Cheese on a cracker, girl. Let me catch my breath a minute. Tell me what's wrong."
I can't.
"Can't what, dear?"
"Amelia!"
I whirl to see Agent Alvarez approaching, dressed in a housekeeping uniform.
"Is everything all right?"
she asks. She pulls a small pan flute from her pocket, clearly ready for trouble. "Tell anyone. Especially those bumbling agents, and your friend pays the price," the Necromuse wrote. "He knows about the agents. Their trap is so much smoke in the wind. That he could grab Jai and leave a note in my flute case is proof of that. And I can read the unwritten threat between his words. If I tell the adults, Jai could get hurt." "I can't go up there," I say. "It's stage fright, that's all. I'm sorry, I just need to be alone."
"Amelia!"
Agent Alvarez raises a hand.
"Wait!"
I run farther down the hallway, cutting left into the first open door I see. The green room, where the Mistwick students left all their backpacks and instrument cases. I lock the door before anyone can come in, just so I can have a few minutes to think.
Amelia!
Agent Alvarez pounds on the door.
I'm fine, I shout. Just give me a few minutes, please!
I hear Miss Mott whispering, and then the sound of their footsteps as they leave.
Finally.
I sink down, my face in my hands.
He took Jai.
Fury rises in me. The Necromuse has been playing me for weeks with his notes and his portals and his deals. He's messed with Mistwick, with my classmates and friends. My angry spell spins in my mind till I'm dizzy with it. Miss Mott called it my power, but I don't know what to do with it. Jai is beyond my reach. I'm helpless. With a growl, I kick the wall, rattling the pictures hanging there. Rows and rows of previous trials winners smile down at me, lifting the crystal lyre. My heart stops. I press my fingertips to one of the pictures, which has a small plaque under it reading, Champions, the Mistwick School of Musiccraft. It was taken the year before Mistwick lost to Sousa's tampering. And their composer that year? My mom. She grins in the photo, surrounded by a crowd of students in Mistwick blazers, the lyre in her hand. They're celebrating their victory, their shoulders sprinkled with confetti, balloons all around. Among them is my dad, standing off to one side, a small smile on his face. My finger trails down the photo to his hand, which clutches a violin, and then stops. I never knew my dad played violin. Something uneasy turns in my stomach, a strange feeling. Shaking my head, I push it away and turn around. My fingers grip my hair as I try to keep from spinning into senseless panic. What do I do to save Jai? What can I do? I hate feeling powerless. Power. That's what I need. The power to make everything right. The power to save Jai. And I know where I can get that power. Amelia, it seems you found a mighty source of fuel, Miss Mott had told me. For weeks, no, years, I've avoided the anger I feel toward my dad. I pushed it down, pretended it wasn't there. But now I need to feed that anger. I need to stoke it into a raging inferno until I have enough power to rip Jai out of the Necromuse's hands if I have to. If that's what it takes, I'd do anything to save Jai. Anything. I look back at my dad in the picture. Then my eyes slide to everyone's bags on the floor. I toss through them until I find Miss Mott's tie-dye tote bag. My heart fluttering, I take a peek inside. The yellow folder is there, just as I'd suspected. I don't want to open it. I don't want to remember. I definitely don't want to learn new things about him. But Jai needs me, and there is nothing else I can do to help him. Taking the folder out with shaking fingers, I open it and begin leafing through the pages. My abdomen clenches with distaste, but I press on, seeing my dad's name over and over. There are class schedules, report cards with mostly failing grades, disciplinary sheets. He skipped class a lot, and curfew just as much. On one page, I find a handwritten note from some bygone maestro. Eric is a genius. Unfortunately, he knows it. I swallow hard and keep leafing through. One of the disciplinary sheets catches my eye. He got 3 months of detention for playing an ice spell into the pipes running beneath Mistwick, causing the magic to spread across the whole campus and completely covering the school in ice. My body goes cold. Squirmy feeling returns, just like when I saw him holding the violin in the photo above. My heart beginning to race, my hands clammy. I keep searching, faster now, through more disciplinary reports, detention logs, test scores. I tear pages out and let them fall to the floor. In the back of the folder, I find a sheet that simply reads, "Dismissed due to absence. The student's echo tree has been uprooted according to protocol." That must have been when he dropped out. I remember Mrs. LaRue once telling me that if a student is expelled, their tree is forcibly removed from the Echo Wood to ensure that they can never return to the campus. There's one more sheet in the folder, some kind of legal document. I frown, not sure what it is. Then I see it. My hand shakes so badly I drop the page. I back away from the folder, the pages scattered across the floor. Looking again at the picture on the wall, I stare at his face, the violin in his hands. My heart feels like it's being squeezed. No. No, 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 no. I think back over the last few weeks. Every clue, every little hint I completely missed. But the pieces fall together so quickly and easily that I wonder how I ever missed it. How I was so stupid. The document on the floor flutters in the draft blowing through a floor vent. The words on it seem so mundane, a mess of jargon and big legal words. But hidden in them, like a thorn in the leaves, is a single sentence. Eric Neal is hereby barred from Musicraft in all its forms in perpetuity. Barred. My dad was barred. The date of the document is 1 year after my mom died. Sick to my stomach, I read it again to be sure it's real. You will compose for me a spell to raise the dead. The Necromuse's voice echoes in my memory. This magic must come from you. It was always you. Now I know why he targeted me, how he knew where to find me, why he was so interested in the ghost summoning spell I composed. I even know why he really wants a resurrection spell, and why he thinks I have to be the one to play it. Because the Necromuse is my dad.